Good evening.
Good evening, Malka.
Good evening, Malka. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Things getting back to normal for you?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir, it is. Back to normal.
Good.
I know.
Glad to hear it. Good evening. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Because I fell asleep on Sunday, we didn't get an opportunity to finish the Saturday night Motzi Shabbat Zohar class, so we're going to start that tonight. And there's a lot of Zohar that we have available to learn in the next couple of days for Yom Kippur. So we're going to... you can find the handout tonight on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the right-hand column, the first row, the list of all the Zohar classes. And if you go to that, you'll find, scroll down to for the holiday of Yom Kippur. And when that landing page opens up, we're in part two, section 34 from the Parsha of Emor. And part two opens to Pasuk 228.
Would you repeat that again? Part two of what?
Well, it's Emor section 34.
Okay.
And,
that was
and we're starting with, right.
Okay.
And we're starting with Pasuk 228. And I'll say El Hashem Yehud to start. But I also would, I would enjoy, it's up to you guys, if we do the mini Zohar right now, that we do, you know, a deeper study with questions about this, each parasha, each pasuk, like we do with the mini Zohar. But it's up to you how you want to approach it.
Okay.
L'shem yichud kudsha b'richu rishkin te bit hilu urchimu ud hilu. Ud hilu urchimu liakta l'shem yud he b'vav he b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'sok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei yadenu konanei aleinu ma'asei yadenu konaneihu. Ach be'asor la'chodesh Ashvi Hazer Yom HaKippurim Hu Mikra Kodesh Yihye Lachem Rabbi Chiyayo Patach LeDavid Maskil Ashrei Nasu Pesha Kasu Hata'a LeDavid Mashkil Hatanenan Vidizine Zimara Itkere Sefer Tehilim Bani Tsuach Bani Gum Bemaskil Bemiktam Bemizmor Bashir Beasre Bit Tefila Beho Hoda'a behallelujah Bila'ah ha'mekuhu Hallelujah Beha'ukmuha. And also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. it shall be a holy gathering to you. Rabbi Chiya opened with, of David, a maskil. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We learn that the book of Tehillim is recited by 10 kinds of songs, by the chief musician, by maskil. The English meaning of maskil is understanding. By michtam, the English word is a poem. By a psalm, by a song, by blessed, by prayer, by acknowledgement, and by hallelujah. The highest is hallelujah, as we have already explained. My commentary. Count the types of items listed. There are 10 listed, although the English translations are not really clear to us. I plan to give a series of classes one day on this subject. The Zohar classes take priority, although if the righteous women who constantly say Tehillim understood this truth about the levels of psalms, they would be much more effective. Using the same English as above, the 10 types of psalms, the 10 types of songs in the Book of Psalms. One is songs, two is the chief musician, three is the maskil, four is the miktam, five is the psalm, six is a song, seven is blessings, eight is prayer, nine is acknowledgement, and 10 is the hallelujah, the praising of Yah. Any questions or comments or thoughts?
I think it's the 10 actions of the Sephirot, the 10 Sephirot that have the certain actions of bringing
That's
praise.
Correct. That is correct. The 10 types of songs are the 10. They connect, each one connects to a different sephirah. And there are different commentaries. Different sages have matched the types of songs to the different sephirot differently. So it's not real clear which is the Keter and which is the Malchut and so forth. But understanding the meaning of these words and how they interrelate is a really significant impact in your Kavanah when you're saying Tehillim, when you're saying the Psalms. If you understand the level that you're dealing with, it really makes a difference in the life that you reveal.
There's a teaching for each one of those levels?
Yes.
To know which level.
There is.
Is it the Zohar or the...
Well, in the Book of Psalms, in the Book of Psalms, generally the first verse in each psalm, there's 150 psalms. And that's 10 times 15. It's 10 times Yud-Heh. Within that 150, there are five psalms that start with a word hallelujah and end with the word hallelujah. And we sing those in the morning. The Orthodox tradition sings those every morning in a section of the morning prayers referring to songs. And that is done prior to the singing of the Song of the Sea. That's just one explanation. There are other psalms that start with hallelujah or end with hallelujah. but there's five of them that start and end with hallelujah. That's just one explanation. Then there's each, there are psalms that have a mixture in the first verse of the psalm where they might say that it's a prayer and a song, or they might say it's a blessing and a song, or a blessing and a psalm. They have combinations of these as well when you look at the first verses. And that's really establishing the consciousness of what you're doing. And you'll notice that number one is songs and number six is psalms. And one is a male song and one is a female song. So for each one of them, there is a subject to go into detail. Just as like there's, you know, each name of God has a different attribute, a different sense, and you can discuss that attribute for an extended number of minutes and hours and days. But as a general rule, the Tehillim is the Malchut, and that's why the women tend to sing that and feel connected to the songs.
I relate it to the five upper, the upper hay and the lower hay, which is the five of, and I also connect them to Leah and Rachel. Leah being the spiritual upper five, which is the upper hay, and then Rachel, the lower five, which is Malkut. That's kind of how I see it.
That is one of the 70 ways of understanding it, absolutely. Should I go on, or do you have other additional questions? I mean, you know, that this one pasuk can be studied for hours.
No, sir. We go on.
Pasuk 229. Hakama skil atreya yadiya mahu maskil mayadiyach kimu le'inun dishatu lehu hahu atar deikre maskil kada maskil aldevar imsa Tovu gim deikre hake, tal ya beya, salicha cheru, dechairin fahidiktiv, ashre nesu, beshakisu chata. The location of Maskil is known as Yesod of Bina. What is that? That is called Maskil. It is that water which makes wise those who drink from it. Namely, it bestows Chachmah. The place called Maskil is as in he who considers, the Hebrew word Maskil, his word shall find good. If Maskil bestows on something, there will be good in it, which is the illumination of Chachmah clothed in Chasadim. Since it is so-called forgiveness, and the greatest freedom comes from it, since forgiveness and freedom are bestowed from Chachmah in Bina, this is the secret of blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, since his transgression is forgiven by the plenty of Chachmah. My commentary. The type of song called Maskil is described in the earlier Pasuk as understanding. Now it is being related to Chachmah. This should not be difficult to relate, as we know that Hatha and Bina are always in Zivu, in intercourse. We also are taught that there are three that are described as the Gimel Rishonot, the first three. This lesson of Rabbi Ashlag teaches that Keter, Chachma, and Bina are all unified relative to our perceptions. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I just see him as the concealed face.
Say it again, I didn't quite hear it.
I see the three as the concealed face.
Yes, they are concealed. They're in our world, we only have the seven lower sephirot. The three upper sephirot of Keter, Chachma, and Bina, they are not in our world per se. Within the frame of one of the seven, like Chesed, you can have Chachma of Chesed, but Chachma by itself is never in our world.
Right.
And the issue then, but what Rabbi Ashlag is teaching and what this verse is tending to discuss or hinting at is Keter, Chachma, and Bina are always unified. They're always in Zavu. They're always together.
Mm-hmm.
So from our perspective, looking up, when we see Bina, we also see Chachma. When we see Chachma, we also see Bina. And at the same time, we also see Keter. So we can't really tell the difference when we're looking up. Now, if I said I'm talking about Chachma of Chesed, we can tell a difference between Chachma of Chesed and Bina of Chesed. But in the overall, Chachma and Bina by themselves, in the overall frame of reference, I can't tell the difference because as I look up, they're always in unity. And that's the meaning of this Gimel Rishonot, the first three. And so many times in the Psalms, you'll see where I mentioned that they'll describe it as a Tehillim and a Maskil and a Miktam. All of those kinds of connections, when they double it up, they tend to be talking about the upper three. Verse 230. My kisu chata'a ha'utmuha tehu kisu bibene na'ashahahu chata'a pechav lekucha berichu ve'ode kame kucha berichu haval tachatzi kadbar nashchate Vidchav Lim Nahada Utrain Utlata Vila Ahadar Beya Hahovo the Eat Kalya Inun Parsime Lonely Ela Parsime Lonely Tata Bekara ze azlin kameya mumach reze istalaku mesaraneya the fadiflanya nazifu mimare Nasif hu le'ela. Nasif hu le'tata. Vavi le'a defagim. Tiyuk na demareya. Vavi le'a delach ha'ish. Likara demareya. Kutshabarichu. Kaleho ve'ya. Le'ela ha'idikin. Yigalu shamayim. Avono. Ve'aretz mitkomama. Lo zekad barna shazil bi'oraicha. Demareya ve'ishtadal. Ve'fulchaneya. The Azdiman Leya Sata'a Chad Kola Mekasin Ilaveya Ilain Betatain Daki Krekis Kusu Chata'a. He asks, what is meant by whose sin is covered? And he answers, it was explained that the sin he committed before the Holy One, blessed be He, is covered from people. And he confessed it before the Holy One, blessed be He. Yet come and see, when a man sins, sinning once, twice, thrice, and does not repent, his sins become public, because they are made known above and made known below. Criers walk before him and announce, get away from around so-and-so. He is chided by his master, chided above and chided below. Woe to him for blemishing his master's image. Woe to him who has no fear for his master's glory. The Holy One, blessed be He, reveals his iniquity above. This is the meaning of the heaven shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. When a man walks the path of his master and busies himself with his service and happens to sin, everyone covers it, the higher and lower beings. This is called whose sin is covered. My commentary. This verse is explaining an idea that seems to be related to treating a negative action as not having a negative effect. This is not true. The chaotic effect is concealed. The person receives the negative effect, but no one knows about it but he himself. Also, the idea of the three times that one commits a sin is referring to the same mistake in three reincarnations, as discussed in the Torah in the Esser Dibrot. Are there any questions or comments or thoughts?
That takes several lifetimes, right? To the three times of reincarnation of not being repentant of their sins.
Do you find that hard to believe? What are you really saying about that?
I don't find it hard to believe. I just thought that it was in one lifetime, not several lifetimes, reincarnation. I mean, a person, and I guess I'm thinking a person can pass away the day they're born, of course, and then in their 30s or 40s, 50s at any time.
Right.
So, I mean, that can happen in a swift time, and or
yes,
happen in a over generations.
Over a longer time, where they could live 100 years and then have another lifetime,
right,
with 100 years. and a third lifetime with 100 years.
I find that kind of merciful in a way, you know.
You're right.
Given that length of time, that's just amazing. That's just beautiful, really.
It is. In the Esther Debrot, it says that the sins of the father will be visited on the children up to 3 or 4 generations. And the Zohar explains that's the meaning, that's where reincarnation is discussed. Because visiting the sins on the children is talking about different reincarnations of the same soul.
Okay, I never really understood that phrase. I mean, I did, but I really truly didn't, I guess. So it's not like the children are carrying the father's sin, because we all have to have judgment on our own actions.
Correct.
So basically, you're saying that it's visiting on the third and fourth generations. So that means
the
same soul has.
We're talking about the third or fourth reincarnation.
Yes. Wow. So, can you give me a definition of revisit? I'm not sure. Is that what the wording you used?
I didn't use that wording of revisit.
Okay. What phrase did you use?
Reincarnation. What I said was that in the Esther Debrot, the 10 utterances, and most people call it the 10 commandments, but we don't like that word because, you know, a command is idol worship. But in the list of the 10 utterances, it says right after the first Ani Hashem Eloheinu, I am God, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that verse goes on to say that the sins of the fathers will be visited on the children up to 3 or 4 generations. And everybody taking the verse literally, they feel that the children suffer from what the father did. And the sociologists all explain that the father does something wrong and the children end up suffering for it. But as you said, we know that no one suffers for a mistake that their father made. Their father has to reincarnate and accept the responsibility and try and correct the mistake that he made in his previous lifetime. But when it says that the sins of the father will be visited on the children up to 3 or 4 generations, that is talking about the same soul being reincarnated up to 3 or 4 times. And that soul has up to 3 or 4 lifetimes to correct the mistake that they made.
Okay, so basically the vessel is helping this soul to correct the sin that should have been corrected in his lifetime. So visited means reincarnation into a body. So that body is helping that soul to repentance, basically. But if that soul after three reincarnations, then have we gone that far? Then he doesn't fear his maker or his creator. So what happens after that?
He takes the correction gets split into 6 parts.
Okay.
And since it's the part is less than the whole, it's easier to do. So the soul splits into six new souls. It's not really good to say new souls. The soul splits into six components, and each of the components takes one part of the sin that they couldn't correct, and so it's easier for them to do it.
So the soul that we have, a couple of souls in a vessel. So the soul that came in from the Father that had to be reincarnated to correct the sin will be in a vessel. Yeah, in the vessel. But we also have several souls that are trying to correct do their tikkun in the same vessel. Am I in the wrong direction here? So
we're describing the teachings from reincarnation.
Okay.
And again, what you're really saying is it gets very complicated.
Yeah, because a vessel can have many souls that are trying to do their tikkun, not only the father that visits the children,
actually, one body can only have four souls.
Four, okay. But each soul is trying to do their tikkun, those four souls.
Yes, they're trying to fix the mistake that was made by the first one, which we call the father.
Okay,
and it could be that all four of those souls that are inhabiting that body at that moment when the opportunity presents itself to fix the sin of the father, the other three souls in that body may also have the same correction. And so they will, if they all do, they don't conflict among themselves and they do the actions properly, they correct the same mistake from four different people.
Right. In which we're all trying to correct the original sin from Adam, to bring back the whole body into Adam or the whole soul back into Adam. Basically, that is the main goal of everyone, is to bring all the sparks back together into the original man, basically.
The language of original sin is not a Jewish language.
Okay.
So we don't say that Adam had an original sin. We say that Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And we were all present when in Adam's and Chava's body when that action took place. And so all of us have a correction to make for that aspect. But we have shared, we've looked at it and we said, all right, if that soul that made the sin of eating from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, if that person was coming from the mouth of Adam, then their correction has to do with eating. And if their part of their soul comes from the legs of Adam, then it has to do with walking, because they walked up to pick the fruit. And if they have to do with the arms, the correction has to do with reaching. So each of us have a correction to make from the eating of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And it's all different because where we come in Adam's body affects that. And then on top of that, we have other corrections to make based on last lifetime, we did certain mistakes. So now that it's as clear as mud.
Oh, it's getting clearer.
Good. And we have run out of time for this spot. We'll continue here with verse 231 tonight at the 7 o'clock West Coast time class.
Thank you, Hanok. Sorry to take up so much of the question time.
Well, you're not taking up time. It's all good. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Come in.